Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. Sports Bros here. My name is Isaac.
Sada.
Hello. Big Sook right over there.
Right here. Oh, dude.
Look at him. And the man of the hour is our man, Schulte. He's in there dressed in Mariners garb yet again. He's got his headband on. We are 5 minutes from first pitch. Schulte vibe check.
Nervous as hell. The butt's already puckering. I'm excited. I think you probably heard me shouting through the walls here a couple of minutes ago.
Yes.
Just ready to get this damn game started.
They're bringing out, and look, this is not a shot at the Mariner organization because they haven't had many of these, but I do think they brought out Ken Griffey Jr. like in a parade, like convertible classic car, drove him around the outfield. He's waving at people like he's Princess Diana.
And Why did they do that?
It's the division series. Like, is there an element to you want to embrace it, but at the same time, act like you've been there before? Can you imagine the Yankees rolling out Reggie Jackson for game 5 of the DS?
The only thing better would be if he were on a horse. Like Wade Boggs.
It's down there. Hey, everybody. I do remember that.
Yeah.
So it feels like, boy, there's a lot of eggs in this basket. God, they better come through. Otherwise, there's going to be some serious, okay. There's going to be some serious trolling.
Who's the hero tonight? Let's go around the room. Who's the hero tonight? And it could be Tiger or Mariner.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? I was just looking at the lineup. Boy, I tell you, dude.
Yeah.
Against George Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these numbers from the Tigers hitters.
Good or bad?
They're bad. Like, they
hit him.
Kerry Carpenter, who's leading off for the Tigers, his career against George Kirby, he is 5-for-11 with 5 home runs.
Ah!
Yes.
Really?
Gleyber Torres hitting second, 5-for-12. Riley Green hitting third, 4-for-12. Colt Keith hitting fifth, 5-for-10 against Kirby. And then you look at the other side, and, really hits Skubal well, but...
They've got him 3 times this year.
Polanco hits him well. He's 9 of 29, 3 bombs. Of course, the 2 bombs in the other game. And then J.P. Crawford is 5-for-8 against Skubal. For some reason, they have him betting 9th, but I don't know. Who's the hero?
I'll say this. Normally in these, I would say World Series, but obviously this isn't the World Series. It's just in order to make runs, you need someone that isn't Cal Raleigh or Julio, right? Where's your Luis Soho?
I think it's J.P. Crawford.
That's where I was going to.
I'll go first.
You stole my thunder, especially when you said he was batting 9th. That's just one of those, like, 8th inning, right? You're down by a run or it's tied, and they get through the lineup, and you're like, oh, my God, the meat part of the lineup didn't do anything. And you get to the back half, and then it's someone like J.P. Crawford that comes through with a double, and you're like, oh, my God, that guy goes into lore. It just... There's always those weird guys that are playoff heroes, and that's where I was going was JP.
Playoff Heeries.
Heeries.
Playoff Harrys.
The Harrys.
What about Dominic Canzone? What if it goes 20 innings and Dominic Canzone comes in and pitches a scoreless inning?
I don't know if Mariners fans can take another 18-plus inning zombie game, but
I couldn't take the one that I was at. That was the worst baseball game I've ever been to in
my life. Who's it
going to
be, Schulte?
The hero tonight? I mean...
Who are we looking to?
I think Arozarena with the most postseason experience out of these guys.
I like
He's really good when the lights are on him. He's been hitting the ball really hard this postseason, so I think somebody that's been hitting it right to guys is going to hit it over their heads tonight.
Buckle up, little fella. They're about to go. George Kirby's out there warming up.
He wants to. They'll just bring out Munoz there, and he'll just until his arm falls off.
Munoz.
Munoz. Yeah. How many pitches could he go? You need six outs again.
Well, they'll probably go Kirby, Castillo, Munoz, right? And maybe Brash if they need him. But I think ideally they want to go Kirby, Castillo, Munoz.
I do think Logan Gilbert is an option if they need like a glass break open in case of emergency kind of deal. He's actually on 3 days rest, so he's not perfect, but like anybody and everybody can pitch tonight.
And Munoz has thrown a lot of innings, but I mean,
not many run him out
pitches
there.
Though.
Yeah, but how many? Okay, so let's say Munoz is out there. It's a tie game.
Yeah.
How long do you like? How many pitches do you give him?
You say to me, if you need him, he goes two innings. You need six outs from him again, go get six
pitches,
outs.
Pitches, though, because two innings could mean 38 pitches. It could mean 17.
I think about 40 pitches is probably 40. Where you're starting to be like, oh, I think I got to go.
Okay. You don't ride him until it, like, I don't know. I think sometimes in these scenarios, if I don't see him laboring,
you just let him go.
I let him go.
Yeah. Right.
Seriously.
That's. I
what
mean,
are you going to do? Yeah. What do you think his arm's going
to
fall
but
off?
But that would be. I mean, you'd have to be in deep into extra innings. I mean, they're not bringing him. I mean, I guess you could see him bringing in a high leverage situation like in the seventh. But if it's a tie game, I could see him going to in the eighth and just being like, "Hey, man, the eighth and ninth are yours."
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Man, boy.
You
know?
First
yeah.
hitter.
All right. Let's. The game has started. The Tigers are 1-for-1. Kerry Carpenter. We said Kerry Carpenter hits George Kirby well. Yeah. And he gets a base hit. He hit it right at J.P. Crawford, who dropped it. So our
hero off to
it. Might be an error, actually. God.
Yeah, that might be an error.
He's off to a rough start. Yeah. Hey, he's got a chance to redeem himself at the plate,
right?
Can I
ask a question? Why is J.P. Crawford's jersey dirty? Did he get that from just that play right there?
I think so. He fell down.
Yeah,
so,
fell down on it. It kind of buckled.
It just didn't look like
kind of buckled them a little bit. And
get up, you bitch. I hear what you're saying.
Wow.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, did he start the game with a dirty jersey?
I mean, maybe he did.
Maybe he likes to go out there and, you know, muck it up, pregame.
Like George Brett in the pine tar.
Yeah, rub it up a little bit, you know?
I respect it.
Yeah.
All right. So we have time for one segment before Joey Harrington comes on. And in that segment, who Oklahoma patterned its revamp after might surprise you, and how Joe Flacco can make history this weekend. Those items next, followed by Joey Harrington talking Oregon, Indiana on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Joey Harrington coming up next. A couple football items here. I was reading about Oklahoma in the Wall Street Journal today.
Mateer, by the way, still remains probable for the Red River, whatever the hell they're calling that.
I think it's rivalry.
Rivalry now?
I don't know. Showdown, maybe?
Brought to you by Wadawudu.
Yeah, so Oklahoma's interesting. You know, they brought in 45 new football players this year.
Yeah.
And they are much better than they were last year.
Agreed.
And the Wall Street Journal did a write-up on how they did that. And it's pretty interesting. Who do you think they patterned their revamp after?
Interesting. Well, I mean, Venables came from Clemson. I would assume maybe that. You go with what you know.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh. Seems odd.
Well, it's not odd when you think about it.
But I mean, I guess I wasn't thinking NFL. When you rebuild, well, I mean, obviously, I think...
That's why I said it would surprise you.
Yeah.
So they hired this... Well, they have a booster who is like the former CEO of like AT&T or something.
That probably helps.
Randall Stevenson.
Yeah.
He's an alum. He came in and they got him in a room with a bunch of people and they sat down and said, well, what do we need to do?
Hmm.
Kind of like the old Phil Knight story.
Sure.
And he basically said, well, I got a buddy... who used to work for the Eagles in the Eagles front office. they brought him in, and they started looking at the landscape of college football, going, we need to build this thing like an NFL team. And so they've kind of neutered the coach in a way, but at the same time, they have freed up the coach to just coach. It's like it's the new model.
Did you just get a GM that builds you a roster and you're like, hey, this is your roster. Now this is what, you know, do something with it.
Exactly. So they all put their heads together and they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build out the roster. We're going to overhaul the roster NFL style, cap style. We've got a guy who knows how the Eagles did it. We're going to do it that way. Ration our money based off of positions. We're going to need the coach to work in unison with us, but he is not going to have that much say over
personnel
who we're bringing in. They have Oklahoma has a 10-man scouting department.
Interesting.
So they are going 100%
NFL.
And what they said in turn has happened is not only did they scout really well and bring in players who are making a difference for them, they have 45 new players.
Yeah.
But Brent Venables can now just coach football. He no longer has to do a ton of other stuff, and they're saying that has worked wonders with their defense.
Are they doing that with high school too? It's like
he's a defensive coach,
and they're the same thing. Like they're just they're scouting the
all
high
of it,
huh?
Yep, all of it.
Boy, if you're a coach and you're willing to give up that control, and you have someone that you trust, I'll bet you that is a absolute godsend. That you don't have to deal with any of that.
Well, if I'm a coach, just bring me good players.
Yeah.
And I'll coach the S out of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and of course, he has to go and close the deals in some instances, but.
But it's funny, you look around, like Oklahoma, if you look through, I think they got like 7 starters from the transfer portal on offense, and they got guys from Stanford, Southern Illinois, Arkansas. Like, I would, and Lanny talks about this, like when we, the transfer portal, like you, at least in the NFL, you don't have to, when you're scouting other teams, there's only 31 of them to scout, and then, you know, college, you know, you kind of get who's coming up and who's available. The world of college football, the amount of eyeballs that you have to have out there, it is amazing that you have what you can sift through to find those kind of hidden gems. And yes, I'm guessing that would be exhausting and very hard to do as a head coach.
The other thing they're doing it all goes hand in hand, but they just said, look, we need to increase revenue.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we need to play a schedule that is compelling enough that will fill the stadium and get people fired up. And then we can charge them more for tickets and charge more for premium seats and all this. And so Oklahoma, dude, say what you will, but this turnaround this year, they have made all the right moves. Yeah. Like that is actually how you should be viewing today's college football. And to Oregon's credit, I think Oregon kind of is doing it that way.
Yeah.
Like that, maybe less so on the NFL scale, but I mean, that's what Oregon's doing.
It really is the model that seems to make the most sense in this day and age of roster construction, because more than ever, year to year, your roster is going to be different. I used to think that the elite teams would dabble in the portal, and I still think you have to have a robust recruiting ranking. Like if to win a national title, you got to be a top recruiter. But you're seeing more and more schools that are using the transfer portal and really changing your roster year to year, way more than I thought was going to happen. And so, the new era of roster construction is here. And every team has to have a GM.
The era has become.
And I do think
I think Oklahoma is like the first one to actually hire a real NFL GM. No, North Carolina did.
Oh,
Lombardi.
Yeah. Yeah,
is the North Carolina GM.
It didn't work out so well.
It hasn't worked out well at all.
Well, and the idea, and Venables probably, I wonder how much of this, he didn't have a say in it because they were going to fire him. Like, this was kind of do or die for him. I wonder if you can go to a coach that's successful. Like, I wonder if Kirby Smart's willing to give up control of his roster. I think it's a little easier to do when you've got a coach on the hot seat. Like, I'll bet you Penn State can probably go to James Franklin and be like, hey, James, we're going to take over the roster.
Well, I think for Kirby Smart, I think it would be more collaborative, right? It's like, hey, we want Kirby. It's not like Brent Venables isn't in the room.
No.
But let's just say Georgia tried this model.
Mm-hmm.
Kirby better be on board with it, or he is going to eventually be a dinosaur. That may be fine for the next 4 years, 5 years, but he's going to get phased out.
Yeah.
because you can't possibly do all that. Like, how could Kirby Smart and his coaching staff come up with a better roster than 10 well-paid scouts?
You can't.
You're not. They have more resources. They have more time. They have that. That's the only thing they're doing is looking for players. And the where Kirby Smart comes in, if he's smart, is he'd be like, okay, I acquiesce to that, but here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I want. Here are the qualities that I, you know. So it's a collaborative effort. Whereas, I mean, I don't think it's ever just going to be, oh, just coach.
Sure.
But it's also, I think it's the dinosaur guys that want to control everything. You ain't going to be able to.
No. And especially when you need to fill so many holes, like Oklahoma, Florida State was like this as well. I mean, they filled a ton of holes. Oregon has done a really nice job in the portal with their hit rate. I mean, not everyone's going to hit, but like Jay Knott was one of the top two or three backs in the portal, and he doesn't really play at Oklahoma. He's got like 15, 20 carries all year. They go with the freshman kid, that Blaylock. But you're not going to hit on everyone, but it does feel for, and I wonder how much of this is a scouting department or who identifies them. But when you look at the last couple of years, the players that Oregon has gotten the transfer portal, for the most part, I mean, Mekhi Hughes obviously was a bit of a whiff. But all three offensive linemen, their DBs, like it just feels like when they have gone into the portal, it's one thing to bring in kids. It's another thing to bring in kids that consistently hit. And it feels like the good schools, they hit the right kids. It's not about the number. It's hitting the right ones that really do feel needs. And Ohio State was this way. Oregon has been this way. And you're talking about two of the best teams in the country. Meanwhile, Clemson hates the transfer portal.
All right. Last story before we get to Joey. Let's talk about another Joey.
And that is...
Do you remember my tease? Were you even paying attention?
That's unsuckable. I'm trying to think of what your tease was.
Joey Flacco!
Oh, yeah!
How Joe Flacco can make history this weekend.
I actually heard a little bit of his press conference today, and I really appreciated it.
He's great.
Yeah. Well, someone was giving him a hard time, like, why don't you just retire? And he basically said, I have my whole life to do something else. He goes, I get one chance. Everyone gets one chance to play in the NFL. And he basically said, how dare you say that I shouldn't be doing this? He said, I've worked really hard to be an NFL quarterback. This didn't come natural. And he basically said, I'll be good and damned if I'm going to let someone else tell me that I can't play in this league. Basically, as long as there's opportunities, I will keep doing this until they tell me that I can't. Because once it's gone, it ain't ever coming back. I just thought it was a good answer.
Respect.
Yeah.
So he will start for the Bengals. If the Bengals win, he would become the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to beat the same team twice in the same season with different teams.
Oh, my God.
So it's only been 21 days.
Yeah.
He's already beaten Green Bay.
Yeah.
He beat him with Cleveland.
Well, he didn't beat he didn't beat anything.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
So it's only happened one other time. And so it hasn't happened in the Super Bowl era. It only happened one other time pre-Super Bowl, and it was 1962 when the great Jack Kemp led the Chargers and Bills over the New York Titans.
Wow.
And the story of that is they placed him on waivers. So the Chargers, he beat the Titans with the Chargers. Then he gets put on waivers because he got hurt, and the Chargers didn't think anyone would claim him, but the Bills did. And they paid, do you care to guess the fee, the waiver fee?
What year was that? You said
1962.
$8,000.
$100. They gave him a C note, said, all right, we got Jack Kemp now.
$100.
And then he beat the Titans with the Bills.
God, I want Joe Flacco to do this so bad. By the way, Joe Flacco in that win, 21 of 36, 142, and a pick. Dominant performance. By Joe Flacco.
And a win.
And a win.
Only five other quarterbacks have ever even had the opportunity to do what Joe Flacco has the opportunity to do. They are Norm Snead in 1974.
Oh, the great Norm Snead.
He failed. Chris Chandler in 1991 with the Bucks and Cards.
Okay.
Kerry Collins in 1998 had that opportunity with the Panthers and Saints. He failed. Mm. 2007, Kyle Orton. Played for both the Broncos and the Chiefs.
Oh, Chiefs.
And then 2015, Jimmy Clausen had the opportunity to beat the same team twice in the same season with two different teams. He was with the Bears and Ravens. None of those guys were able to do it. Only Jack Kemp and possibly Joe Flacco.
Well, I will say that if we're power ranking those quarterbacks, Joe Flacco is number one with a bullet.
Yeah, I'd say that's right.
Yes.
I'd say that's right. Although I don't know anything about Jack Kemp.
Nor do I. I'm just assuming that Joe Flacco is better. Super Bowl champion and one-time highest paid player in the NFL.
Joe Flacco.
I bet you Joe Flacco, fun trivia question, Joe Flacco is going to be considered widely the worst player to ever be the highest paid player in football.
Wow. Is that true?
I'll take a look, but because at one point he was, and I'll bet you that he would be considered the worst highest paid player of all time.
Mark Sanchez, he was on that list.
Highest paid?
Sanchez was the highest paid player in the NFL?
Yeah, quarterback in like 2011 or 2012, and no one was getting paid more than quarterbacks, right?
I'll see if I can.
Really?
See if I can dig this out.
I think Schultz's, I don't know about the Sanchez thing, but I'm guessing Schultz's right in that there are probably some pretty bad quarterbacks that have gotten huge deals and for a brief moment. We're not, like, Cutler got a big deal, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was he the highest paid player in the NFL at that time?
I'm going to do some digging, because if it's Mark's, Flacco's better than Sanchez.
Yeah, so if it's the butt fumble, come on.
It might be the butt fumble if he was. I'll see if I can do a little digging on this.
All right, Joey Harrington, we're talking Oregon, Indiana, coming up next. Here's Schultzy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington here on The Fan, and it's time to get into Oregon, Indiana, 12:30 tomorrow here on The Fan, home of the Ducks. Joey, the patented Joey Harrington worry meter for the Indiana game is?
Well, I'm going to preface this by saying, can I get a little something for the worry meter against Penn State? I think I was pretty spot on there.
You were at a five, I think?
I was right at a five. Yeah.
And for three and a half quarters, you looked spot on, and then it got weird.
At any point in that game, did you think they were going to lose?
What happened? I don't think so.
Well, they had a fourth down. They were down seven.
Yeah.
They gave up the touchdown in overtime, and they were faced with fourth and one, I think at about the five of Penn State.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, no, there were a couple nervous moments.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with I went with a five against Penn State. I'm going to go with a six.
Oh, so a little more. Even at home, huh? Maybe,
you know, this is one of those, you said it just a second ago, like the big team, you know, the big game against Indiana. Like, what? Against Indiana? Like, this feels like it is one of those teams that gets pubbed up during a season, and then all of a sudden they're, because teams lose ahead of them, now they're ranked in the top 10. But there's this kind of scariness, because they were a good football team last year. Like, this is one of those that I think it gets built up as a top 10 matchup, and then you think, yeah, but it's only Indiana. And then they come out and do something they shouldn't do. Like, I don't know. Like, there's just a little bit. If they were on the road, if we were playing in, Bloomington?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If we were playing in Bloomington, I might be upwards of like a 7.5. But I like being at home, and I'm feeling like they're going to be better than we think they are. And I think that Autzen's going to be Autzen. So I'm feeling like a six.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lanning's 22-1 there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. The only one was the Washington lost or Washington and loss.
Don't we have the longest home winning streak in the country again? If I'm not mistaken on that.
That I don't know. That I'm not familiar with, but it's a tough place to play. We know that. It's a challenge. And Indiana, I'm with you. Indiana's really good. They haven't won. I mean, they've only played two of them, but in the two games they played against teams like Oregon last year, Notre Dame and Ohio State, they were bullied pretty good. And when I went back and watched the Iowa game, and that was a close game. Iowa was never really threatening, but Indiana kind of kept spinning its wheels. They couldn't block Iowa's front. Especially the interior of their line was really problematic, and I think that one, crowd noise and the Oregon interior D-line versus the Indiana O-line, that might be a bridge too far for Indiana to overcome.
Well, and this is the thing that has, I don't want to say, unfortunately become a big glaring haves and have-nots, right? All the recruiting stuff, which, you know, we all hate the stuff. But what it has done is you see the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Notre Dames, the Oregon, you know, Texas, Georgia, Alabama. Like you said, they get the interior linemen. Yeah. That's the difference now. Is in the past, I think there was a little bit more parity, and you were able to, you know, some of those guys would spread out a little bit. Now that's just not the case anymore. And the bigger schools are getting the bigger guys. In a bigger way than they used to before. And I think you're right. That's going to be the difference between
them. What do you think of this analogy? It was from a texter a couple days ago who said, Indiana is Oregon from 10 years ago, and Oregon is the SEC from 10 years ago. What do you think about that?
10 years ago, 2015. No, I would not agree with that. Indiana being Oregon 10 years ago, because 10 years ago was Marcus's, right? That's the 2014 national champion, championship game run, right? And I don't think Indiana is that good. I would agree with Oregon being an SEC type team in terms of longstanding, you know, dominance in their respective region. But I think probably what they were trying to say is Indiana is Oregon
15?
25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is, because Indiana is a nothing in terms of football tradition, which is what Oregon was when we were coming out of the Rose Bowl Cotton Bowl years right before us. Like, that was, if Indiana is able to sustain this and turn it into something that is larger on the national stage, then I think that the comparison would be to our teams, right? The 99, 2000, 2001.
Yeah. Well, I just know, like, in the portal and just in general in high school recruiting, you can find, this is going to sound weird, but you can find slot receivers. You can find athletic guys. Like, they may not be, you know, they may not be 6'2", but I can find a 5'8 corner that's really good that the big guys didn't want because he's not 6'2". And I can find a little shifty slot receiver, the Rogers brothers that went overlooked, and, you know, LaMichael James. You can find those guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find
who are they?
Yeah, you can't.
I've seen it.
Yeah, you can't find 315 pounds that move. You can find 315, but they're fat and slow. So to find guys,
another one that you can't find.
You
and now we have one. The other one that you can't find that we now have one of.
We now have one of.
We have one.
Who are we talking about? Like a DeCorian Moore type.
Kicker.
A true Peter Warwick, you know, Jeremiah Smith, the one guy, Reggie Bush.
Big explosive, go up and get the ball and show it to you on the way on your way to the end zone. Like, that kind of, we haven't had it.
Yeah,
that's true. We've had 100 Keenan Howries who are incredible wide receivers. Like you said, like, you can go find those guys, but you can't the interior linemen. Yeah. We've had one Haloti, you know, previously, and then now we're starting to get him. The offensive lineman and that one standout wideout.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's what separates good programs from elite programs is
Yeah,
and it's why
Indiana isn't there yet. They're not at that. They're not at that level yet.
Well, if you go back, and I'm telling you, you can find them on YouTube or whatever. That I subscribe to a little service, and you can just get like you can get all 22 film. And the right guard for Indiana is, I promise you, Dan Lanning and staff are watching that Tosh LePoy, and they're just Amari Washington and Bear Alexander are going to be like, yeah, they're fighting to see who gets to play. That three technique on that right guard. I legitimately feel bad for him. It will be bad. And Indiana is going to have to, they're going to have to double team him. They can't leave that guy on an island.
I don't know if we have the time to, but this is such a great point that you're making. We had an entire offensive line of those guys, right?
Yeah.
And I was sacked the fewest times in the country. Why? Because you figure out ways to coach around that. If you know that you've got a vulnerability, so here's my question. Here's my rebuttal to you, Garrett. You're waiting to see how the D lineman who lines up in the three technique against them.
Yeah.
I'm looking to see if they're going to slide the protection.
Yeah.
Right. Are you going to go full slide? And where are you going to start your slide? Are you going to start at the are you going to start the slide at the three technique? Are you going to start like how are you going to protect you? Where do you where is your launch point? If that quarterback's going to be sitting in the pocket the whole game, then you're right. Then, this would be a long day for that right guard. But if they move the launch point, if they slide the protection, like there are ways to combat that, which, again, going back to the earlier point, the brilliant coaches in college football, like the really, really good ones, the Jeff Tedfords, like the Chip Kellys, like those guys, they get it. They understand what to do. And we talked about the NFL guys that don't.
Yep. And Indiana does a good job. They basically run a triple option scheme, and they try to confuse D linemen with window dressing and having to make reads and stuff. I just, for my money, and I know we all love rush ends and we love, corners, and maybe just because I'm an interior guy. I don't think that there is another position in all of football, minus quarterback, right? You get a quarterback and, that's just different. But I just don't think someone can effectively destroy a game quite like a dominant defensive tackle, because like you said, you can roll protections or whatever, but if you're just shoving everything back in the middle, watch Aaron Donald sometime, or when JJ Watt was really humming, or some of these NFL, Chris Jones,
give an Oregon comparison, Nick Fairley.
Yeah, that exactly. Right. That Auburn defense was not a great defense, but they they could not, no matter what they did. He took one of the best offenses in the country and he brought it to its knees. It's one guy. And Ndamukong Suh did it, an entire year at Nebraska. It's just, it's the most overlooked, oh my God, there's nothing we can do when you get someone like that. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Okay, I have two.
Indiana doesn't have those guys.
No, they do not.
I have two follow-ups before we cut you loose. If your eyes are on the right guard, he is big number 74, Bray Lynch. Out of Austin, Texas.
Yeah, and sometimes they rotate because, they don't have one. Him and another guy both play that.
And that's number 61.
And neither one of them are good.
So keep your eyes on that.
Just telling you.
You asked if Oregon now has the longest home winning streak in college football. You are correct, sir. Georgia lost to Alabama. That ended the longest. Mm-hmm. And then Washington lost to Ohio State, which ended the second longest, leaving Oregon as now the longest at 18 games.
Hey, look at that.
18, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Congratulations. You're very smart.
They have six more to get to ours.
What?
We were at 24 when we lost to Stanford.
You know the all-time leader? 50.
At Autzen or in college football?
In college football history, I think it was like 54 or 58. You've talked about this team many times, one of these
Miami
teams.
Maybe?
Yes, Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Miami team was good.
You didn't beat them in Miami.
No.
No.
All right, sir, enjoy the game. Thank you very much, and we will talk to you next week.
We will. Hopefully I don't get cut in the airport.
Wait, what are you doing?
I don't know. They cut me up at last week and didn't get a talk to you.
Okay.
I'm going to Palm Springs, though, so I'm not doing the guest picker. I'm going to Palm Springs for a wedding.
Okay. Sounds like someone trying to throw us off the set.
We'll see you on ESPN tomorrow.
Yeah. Say hi to Nick for me.
Bye.
All right, it's Joe Harrington each Friday here, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. We have more Mark Sanchez stumble video to pour over, and we'll do that next in the club on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.